Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. Today is part two of our three-part interview with Heather Dixon. Now, Heather is the author of the book, Determined, Living Like Jesus in Every Moment. And she's been going through her life story with us and explaining how this book came about and what the mission of the book was. And I'm telling you, if you missed yesterday's episode, you need to go back and catch up because it's awesome. I mean, her background, you know, being diagnosed after years of illnesses with a genetic disorder she inherited from her mother, a terminal disorder. There's nothing they can do for her. And she is now focused on living each and every day by serving Jesus. And she's sharing with us how to do that as well. It's an awesome interview. You need to listen all the way through. Go down in the show notes down below. Click on the links to get in touch with her, to invite her to speak, ask her a question, even purchase her book. Amen. So right now, we're going to jump back into this interview with Heather Dixon, and I'll come back on the other side and talk to you there. It's just about the book of Luke, but why not the other gospel writers?
Yeah, so Luke, there's a lot of answers to that question. Number one, it is, you know, one of the more thorough of the Gospels that is written. It has one of the more thorough accounts of Jesus's life and ministry and the actions that he took. Okay. And, you know, Luke was a historian. You know, he really wanted to have, you know, a very detailed account of Jesus's life and ministry. And he wrote it as such. Luke reads very much like a drama. I mean, I think as a writer, I appreciate brilliant in writing. And I think that, you know, the way that Luke writes, there's tension and there's drama and there's leading up and there's transitions and there's a story there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really appreciated that from Luke. And I think, you know, also because, and here is the main crux of it, is because there's a verse in Luke, it's in the 9th chapter of Luke, and it's a turning point in Jesus's ministry. It's Luke 9:51. And the way that Luke words this, and this is his brilliant in writing and storytelling, but, you know, the way that he words this as inspired by the Holy Spirit was, when the days were coming to a close for him to be taken up, he determined to journey to Jerusalem. And it was a turning point for Jesus's ministry because he had been doing all of his ministry up along the shores mm-hmm. of the Sea of Galilee, and then he knew he had an appointment to make with the cross. But the way that Luke worded that was intentional and specific, because he could have said, when it was time for him to die on the cross, he determined to journey to Jerusalem. But he didn't say that. He said, when it was time for him to be taken up into heaven. And then he determined to journey to Jerusalem, to the cross. It's that eternal perspective. Mm-hmm. And I just really appreciated that about how Luke framed that decision that, you know, Jesus made. And so that, you know, that's a short story of why I chose the Gospel of Luke. I just really appreciate his storytelling ability and his thorough account of Jesus's ministry.
That's one thing I love about the Bible, is, you know, because I've read the Bible. I've been born again since 92, called in the ministry since 95. When I first started off, I was reading the Bible through basically three times in a year.
Wow.
That's a great
accomplishment.
Well, and it wasn't because I had, you know, some special thing or anything like that, but I had inherited my grandfather's Bible and wore it out.
But in the front cover,
there was three columns, and you could pick any one of those three columns to read the Bible through in a year. Well, mm-hmm. I would read the first two columns in the morning and the third column at night before I went to bed, and that was my Bible study time. So I was actually mm-hmm. reading it three times through in a year. But, you know, this is what, 95, so it's almost, 30 years coming up mm-hmm. soon, somewhere in that neighborhood, 25 years, 26 years, lose track mm-hmm. of time. But, you know, the last 3 or 4 years, I just read it twice, but because of other things going on. But the point is, I've read these scriptures, plus my, you know, preparing for sermons and teachings and all that, over and over, hundreds of times, couple hundreds of times, maybe a thousand times, some of them. And it always has the ability to speak to you anew.
That's right.
Just like what you were just sharing, I was like, wow, yeah, I never noticed that before.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I love about the Bible is it is the Holy Spirit actually carrying on a conversation with someone, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, you could say, you know, sit down at your grandparents' house for Thanksgiving dinner and tell us about the stories in the war, Grandpa, you know? And they get going and he'll say something that, you know, he's told this story 100 times, but this day something catches, wait a minute, really? You know? And that's what it was just like when you said that, I was like, wow, yeah, I never looked at it from that perspective before. That's awesome, you know?
Yeah, I love the Bible like that. It is living and active for sure. Amen. It speaks right tangibly into our days.
Yeah, it does. So what is the major message that you want women to take away from reading your book?
Well, yeah. So number one, it's Jesus. You know, I want women.
It's a good
place to start. It is always a good place to start. I want women to know that Jesus was determined to love them. You know, I think I want women to understand the holistic vision of his life and ministry, to know the choices that he made. And I, you know, of course we walk through the major moments of his time here on earth, but I want them to know the choices that he made in the in-between. Mm-hmm. You know, as he was on his way, the things that he chose, how and when he chose to step away from ministry and commune intimately with God. Why did he do that? And how did he make the choice between what was good and best? He did that over and over again. You know, there are people clamoring for him. And, you know, he knew, because he was determined to make his way to the cross. He knew the difference between good and best for his ministry. But at the heart of it, I want, you know, any woman that closes the pages of that Bible study, I want her to know that Jesus was determined to love her, and that the very, you know, first moments, the first recorded spoken words out of his mouth as a 12-year-old were, mm-hmm. I must be about my father's business. Yeah. And I want women to know that they are his father's business. I think the second thing that I want, you know, women to know is that the abundant life he promises, you know, John 10:10, I've come that he may have life and life and abundance, and that the abundant life he promises is attainable when we make the choice to live just like he did. And I'm not talking about unicorns and rainbows and wealth and prosperity and all that jazz. Right. I'm talking about walking an intimate, close relationship with Jesus. The blessings of that are a life that is flooded with gratitude and peace and contentment because you are walking closely with him. And that abundant life, that blessing is attainable when we determine to live just like he did.
Amen. Amen. Now, have you presented this material contained in Determined in live presentations? And if so, what's the response been?
Yes. So I'm walking through it right now. I've done it. This is my second time doing it. I have a group of sweet little girls. It's only about six. I say girls, they're women. But it's
you
six,
can say that.
That's right. That's right. No one else can. No, we're giddy, but we love Jesus. But it's a group of about 6 to 10 women. And we walk through, we call ourselves the Turtle Sisters. Because the very first Bible study we did, we were, you know, walking through, I think, Ephesians 6 and learning about the Roman soldiers and their battle arrangements. And one mm-hmm. of their formations was the turtle formation, where they, So they, you know, lifted up their shells and that was how they protected everyone in their battle crew. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's what we are. We're turtle sisters. And, you know, we do that by praying and loving and encouraging one another in the word. And the name just stuck. So we are the Turtle Sisters, and they were the first to walk through it with me. They're always my guinea pigs, so they walk through the manuscript and the draft with me. So I've done it with them. And then I am walking through it now with a team of women who are helping me, my launch team, who are helping me walk through Determined. And then I'm getting ready to walk through it online through one of my ministry opportunities. And the response is this, that I think that, you know, women are hungry to know how they can make a difference for God. You know, I think that women want to wake up in the morning and know exactly how to spend their day. You know, I mean, you know, I've really rarely come across a woman who wants to sit on the couch and eat bonbons. Right. I think that, and not that that's wrong on occasion. I love a good piece of chocolate, but you know, I think that women want a tangible and a practical tool to allow them to say, you know what, Jesus's ministry is all encompassing. And, you know, but they want a practical tool to be able to take some of those daily habits that he did and incorporate them into their day because they want to make a difference for God. So, the response has been, you know, very positive because, you know, and here's the deal, Bob. I mean, I am really just, my job is just putting the word of God in front of someone else's face. Right. And the Amen. Word of God does its work.
That's right.
So, you know, I really don't, I mean, yes, I love the scope of the determined study, but the power and the real power happens when women turn the pages of their own Bible and read it and digest it in themselves. And so I think, you know, the work is being done there because the women are digging into the word and, you know, their response is, you know, maybe I need to make a change in this day. Maybe I need to view, you know, Jesus's will for my life in this way. You know, or it's an aha moment of, you know what, this is my push that I've been hearing Jesus speak this over me. I've been hearing him say, this is the next step that I need to take. And this is the push I need to get out there and do some damage for God's kingdom. Good damage, mm-hmm. you know, Amen. Do some real work for his kingdom. So those are some of the comments being cool. absorbed as women are walking through with me.
Have you given this presentation at like any churches and things like that?
I will in, let's see, what is this, April? I will in May. Cool. In May 4th, I'm heading to Brentwood, Tennessee, just outside of Nashville, and for the Woven Women's Conference, and we will be chatting about determined living, and I'll take a snippet of the study there and kind of introduce it to them there. And I think, let's see, I will do it again at my own home church. I usually teach my studies there as well. The timing and the logistics, I'm not sure when that will happen, but I'll walk through that publicly.
That's
there.
Awesome.
For sure. Yeah.
So
if
pastors are interested, they can have you come out and speak to a woman's event and things like that.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I've got a couple of events on my schedule for the fall, two for May. But yeah, I love doing face-to-face women's ministry.
Amen. Amen. Matter of fact, give us your contact info right now. We'll do it again at the end. But because sometimes they don't listen, you know, for whatever reason, people can't listen all the way through. What's your contact information?
Yeah, so a couple ways. Email is usually the easiest way to get me, and I'm at heather@therescuedletters.com. The rescued, as in I have been rescued by Jesus, letters, as in I write a bunch of letters about it to people.com. And so that's my email. And then on my website, it's therescuedletters.com/speaking is, you know, if you're interested in doing, incorporating me in that, that's probably the easiest way just to see, it's my statement of faith and speaking topics and all kinds of fun information to dig into there.
Amen. Amen. So we'll do that again at the end, but I just want to make sure that people had that opportunity to just in case they need to, you know, while they're taking notes right now, they can just write that down too.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Not a problem. What is a practical tool that you are offering women in your book? You talk about practical things that they're going to get. What is one of the practical tools that you offer them?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, life can be really overwhelming sometimes. So one of the questions I ask God often as I was writing, you know, this study is, okay, you know, like we're women, we need to know how to actually execute this. You know, learning and absorbing all this information is great, but now how do I turn it into execution? And so I asked him, you know, what's a template that we can follow in every day that will help us embrace determined living and living life to the fullest? And the answer came from what we studied in the first week of Determined. It's the first four chapters of Luke. And, you know, we looked at these examples from three from Jesus and one from Anna, the prophetess at the temple who sees the baby Jesus. And it was just these four words kind of came up from the pages of Scripture, and it was worship, word, pray, obey. And, you know, in the very opening pages of Luke, we saw Anna worshiping, and then we see Jesus at the temple discussing the word as a 12-year-old. And then we see him praying right as he's being baptized and right before his earthly ministry begins. And then we see him obeying God's will in the wilderness as he's being tempted by Satan. And so, you know, just those four words were like, oh, and it sounds so simple. You know, I mean, sometimes I think we like to complicate things and we bypass that, you know, easy Sunday school answer that we've learned all of our life. But really, that's it. Worship, word, pray, and obey. And that's the pattern that I seek to follow in every day. You know, spending time worshiping God, reading his word, praying over what God needs me to do that day, and then get your honey out there and go do it. I mean, go obey him to see it through. And I think that, you know, if we, that's that practical tool is just worship, word, pray, obey, and look for ways to embrace that in every day, and we'll be well on our way to living like Jesus.
Amen. How, by writing this book, how has that helped you in your walk of faith? How has it impacted your own life?
Yeah. So, number one, it changed the way I see Jesus. You know, I've been a follower of Jesus. He's been, you know, my savior since I was 12 years old, right after my mom died. You know, I met Jesus because my best friend in middle school invited me, an unchurched introvert who had just lost her mother, to church camp. And all this time, you know, I thought I've known exactly who he was. You know, it was 30 years ago. And, you know, I've known that he was loving and forgiving and compassionate and good. And I knew that he was the Son of God and that he died on the cross to pay the debt for my sin nature. I knew that he was my savior and he had authority over my life, but I didn't know until I studied the book of Luke how determined he was to love me. And it was, you know, just that attitude perspective of, you know, really, that really made me fall in love with him that much more. You know, every choice he made was intentional. And, you know, when he looked at the cross, he saw my face. He saw your face. Mm-hmm. He saw the faces of the listeners that are with us today. You know, he lived determined because he was determined to love me. And that changes the way that I respond to him and think about him. And it also changed the way that I make daily decisions. You know, studying the choices he made on the cross make me change the choices I make on a daily basis. Right. And it helped me realize that every choice matters. And, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, we can, you know, we're not going to nail it every single day. But in every day we have, you know, a litany of choices presented before us, and every single one can take us a couple of steps closer towards Jesus's will or a couple of steps further away. And here's a practical example of that yesterday, that happened yesterday. You know, I got it's Monday morning, and Monday mornings often bring lots of pressure and stress. And I was making a list of all the things that, you know, had to be done this week. Before studying, before walking through this study and writing Determined, I would have looked at my Monday morning and said, I have so many things to do in this week, and this is just a burden. You know, this is very stressful to me because, you know, I am someone, because of my condition, you know, I have to be very careful about sustainable choices and making sure I don't overcommit or, you know, stay too busy because it just, it manifests itself physically, and it's not a risk I want to take. Yeah. And so, you know, before studying this, I would have said, you know what, this is just stress. It's all stress. But here's the thing, nothing on my list would qualify as a hardship. Nothing. I mean, it was the blessing of a full life. It was, you know, doing things like what we're doing today, you know, chatting about Jesus. It's celebrating a birthday dinner. It's, you know, prepping my message for my time in May with the women in Brentwood, Tennessee. You know, it's preparing for my caring for my family and grocery planning and laundry. I mean, all these things that, yes, make up a very full day, but they're not a hardship. And so, you know, the end result, the before and after of walking through Determined, is that now I see, like, this is a gift. Amen. That our life is a gift. And, you know, I think when you have the awareness, like I do, that, okay, you are living with a condition that is dangerous, then you don't want to waste your time in that day. Yeah. And so, you know, I began to see, you know, this, I refuse to see this as a burden. And a hefty to-do list is not an invitation to, you know, to complain or to worry. Instead, it's an opportunity for praise. Yeah. And it's an opportunity to say, you know what, I have this life to live, and yes, there are going to be ups and downs in it, but this is the life that Jesus has set before me, and I will be determined to, you know, to be exhausted when I hit the pillow every day at night, mm-hmm. Because you know we have work to do. If you have a pulse, you have a purpose, and life is such a precious gift. And so,
if you have a pulse, Jesus isn't done with you yet.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And I want to make a difference until He is.
Amen. Well, share with us one of your favorite habits for success that you have in the book, and explain why it's your favorite one.
Yeah. So, there's a lot. I think there's convicting ones and comfort ones, and I think the convicting one is realizing that when we want to emulate Jesus, a key factor of whether or not we're emulating Him is the amount of time we're spending with people that don't know Him. Mm-hmm. And that's challenging to me, especially as someone that works and serves in women's ministry, which is often a discipleship encounter. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it bleeds into evangelism and it bleeds into, spreading the gospel, certainly. But, a big bulk of it is, chatting and talking with people who look like me and talk like me and think like me because they love Jesus. I think that it's one of those habits that's convicting is just say, okay, I need to find ways to introduce myself to people and be in communities with people that might not know Him. I think the other one, the comforting one, is from Luke 6, where as a mother, I am. I feel a lot of pressure about feeling like I have to know everything about how to answer all my son's questions about life and Jesus and school.
Wait. Mothers don't know everything? I thought they did.
No, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. I'm sharing a massive secret across the world.
We won't tell anybody.
I know, right? Here's the good news, though, is that Luke 6:45, is out of the overflow of a man's heart, his mouth speaks. And so I was like, man, that is so comforting to me because I don't have to know the answers. I just have to know Jesus.
Amen.
The way we live is determined by what occupies our heart. And so, I think we get so caught up in, what our purpose is, and, what our job is on this earth. And that's, that's a noble and valuable question to ask. But I think at the end of the day, the answer is always we are here to glorify Jesus and our job is to be with Him.
Amen.
So that is my favorite habit is, coming from Luke 6. It's just be with Jesus, be Amen. With Jesus. And out of that overflow of your time with Him, the rest of your life will pan out in exactly the way that He intends, because your only goal, your only purpose is to be with Him.
Amen. Now, we've been talking the whole interview about ministering to other women.
Yeah.
Is your ministry, is your book, is a Bible study, can men use it also, or is it just geared to women? And what do you love the most about ministering to other women?
Yeah, so it really is geared towards women. I am a Southern Baptist writing for a Methodist publisher, so there's the complications behind that. It's really not complicated, but I do, the book is written. It's written for women. Certainly, any man can walk through the life and ministry of Jesus in this way, but it's written for and addresses the thoughts and perspectives that a woman might have. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to say no to men. But I will say that I think that it's definitely more geared towards a woman's heart. And women are fun. I love women. I mean, women are we're so much fun. I mean, we cook like the Dickens, and we care for people. And I have really found women have a really huge hunger for Jesus and for His Word. And so that's why I love ministering to women, because I think that women have a great, and not that men don't, but just my experience has been, women really, they hunger for Jesus and they hunger for a community that shares Jesus with one another. And that's really beautiful.
Amen.
So women are fun.
Amen. Well, as we're getting ready to close, I want to ask you to do something.
Okay.
I read on your website that you like to imitate foreign accents.
Oh my gosh, Bob.
So I want you to give us a couple of your favorite examples. Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time again for today's episode where we're interviewing Heather Dixon. This was just part two. And like I said, if you missed part one, you are lacking some great information. You go back and listen to part one. Part two was awesome all in itself. But you are really going to enjoy tomorrow's interview. As we conclude our interview tomorrow with Heather Dixon in part number three, I ask her something that she has never been asked in an interview before. And actually, I think I've asked her the last two questions we're going to go over will be two things that she has probably never been asked before. And you can tell as we just laugh and we have a great time with the answers. But you need to come back to find out what that is, because I'm not going to give away the secret. It's awesome. Heather is awesome. Her book is awesome. Determined, Living Like Jesus in Every Moment. That's what we've been talking about during this whole series of interviews. You need to get the book. Go down into the show notes. You need this book, or you know someone who needs this book, because that is the whole purpose in this interview, is to get you and let you know there are resources out there that can help people to live every moment just like Jesus. And you know, when you're going through trials, your own trials, your own troubles, your own tribulations, it's important to know other people are right there with you. You may not know them personally, but you can know them. And together, you can strengthen each other and give encouragement to each other. And that's what Heather is doing in this book. So come back tomorrow as we'll conclude our interview with Heather Dixon. Until then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.